Live and Local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Happy Thursday to you. I hope you are planning on a fabulous day today. Nice evening. Head out. I would say go out and have a nice dinner somewhere, but you're, you know, probably going to be harassed about wearing a mask if you feel like you want to or don't want to. We got a lot of things to talk about, so let's get to it. First off, 991FMTalk.com. Poll question today brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Should kids be allowed to go back to brick and mortar school in the fall? Actually, with the way that, you know, we have kind of year-round school, should they be allowed to go back in August? Yes, no. What are your thoughts on that? Yesterday's poll question, should Nevada be asking for more relief dollars from the federal government? 87% of those participating said no. No. It's called responsibility. What do they say? We made our bed. It's time to lie in it now. Sorry, Governor. You're the one that caused this in the state of Nevada, and you are the one that continues to drag us down every single day. Governor Sisolak? Personally calling mayors and requiring masks? Make sure it's enforced? Get those businesses fined? Okay. We know what you're all about, Governor. But it's not about the mask. It's about shutdown and control. Control of those privately owned businesses. I mean, seriously, the attacks on small restaurants, and I do consider them attacks. When you are selecting and going after certain businesses, bars, restaurants, salons, the last great bastion of privately owned companies, I make sure I try to go to locally owned. You know, I don't go to big corporate salons. No, I go to a locally owned one. Yeah, but those big corporations, they employ locals. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing. Okay, so going back to today's poll question, should kids be allowed to go back to brick and mortar school in the fall? I found this extremely interesting. And if you do not, you don't have to subscribe. You can get a subscription. But if you haven't been on to the patriotpost.us lately, you really should check out this story. It's by Arnold Allert. Came out today. School's out. Forever? The cartel of teachers' unions is making totally unrelated ideological demands. And I love the first line of this story. If the current mindset holds, courtesy of the most successful media-driven fear-mongering campaign in the history of the nation, it is likely that going to school will remain off the table for the foreseeable future. That is just pathetic. But then again, on the other hand, Fortunately, here in Nevada, we have NPRI. And they have made tremendous, tremendous leaps and bounds to educate, to educate people, especially teachers, about the ability to get out of the union. There's only 2 weeks in the year, and it's during the summer that you can actually withdraw from the union and still be protected by the education system. It has to be done. This union especially, the United Teachers Los Angeles, one of the biggest ones out there, this statement just, it's ridiculous. This is coming from the president, Cicely Myert Cruz. We all want to physically open schools and be back with our students, but lives hang in the balance. I thought education was about education. And I thought everybody worshiped, you know, on the left, worshiped at the feet of the CDC. Because according to the CDC, 30 children under the age of 15 have died of COVID-19. By contrast, in a typical year, 190 children die of the flu. 436 from suicide. And unfortunately, in recent months, we've seen a lot of that here. 625 from suicide. 4,114 from unintentional deaths. Moreover, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they represent some 67,000 pediatricians. They issued a release strongly advocating that all policy considerations for the coming school year should start with the goal of having students physically back in school. They are using the school system, the education of the children, hostage. And you know who they are. Because if you watch and you pay attention to things, Sweden's schools, they've been open throughout the entire pandemic. Denmark, Austria, Norway, Finland, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, they all reopened back in April and May. All without significant upticks. Imagine that. Around the world, an emerging consensus that children are not significant virus spreaders. Yet here in this country, they're just little death machines. This is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And it is so sad that we are allowing this to happen. It is nice to know, though, that there is somebody on our side, at least in our legislature right now. We feel like we don't have a voice, but we do. And we've had our disagreements. But if you missed this, this is Senator Ira Hansen.
Bring that up right now because, well, I haven't said a word about it publicly, and I've been supportive of the governor. I think what happened today in California sends up a huge red flag that the business community in Nevada is vulnerable to that same type of arbitrary action. And I want to make sure that at some point this body addresses this. Because I'll tell you an experience I had. A certain assemblywoman and I went to dinner the other day in a local business, local restaurant. And as we were walking into the business, to my surprise, we were glared at by an individual. And then after we were seated, he came over and asked us, "Are you part of the legislature?" And when I expressed I was, he started to say something. And I said, "Well, by the way, we're big supporters of business and we think you guys should be allowed to make more decisions." And he said, "Well, I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you to leave my restaurant." They are so upset with this constant effort and this one-size-fits-all policy for the state of Nevada that they literally were going to ask us to leave the restaurant because we were simply members of this body. Now, we need to recognize that every community in this state has been dealing with this COVID situation now for months. And we need to also recognize that these have locally elected officials, local bodies of people who know how to deal with these things. We are talking about grown-ups running businesses who are in contact day to day with their elected officials, and the elected officials mingle and live among them, yet they have absolutely no authority to make decisions that need to be made in their own local communities. Another practice that I've been made aware of, which is extremely disturbing to me, has been either the governor or his staff has actually been calling mayors of our cities and county commissioners and threatening to withhold funds if they don't comply fully in those communities with his orders. And to me, that is absolutely dictatorial and wrong. Now, we are in a special session. We are the lawmaking body of this state, and I am hoping that during this special session, we will address this very specific, huge problem. And I was driving by, when I went home last night, we went by the GSR, and we went by the Nugget, and those parking lots are full. People are anxious to be able to get out and participate in our economy today. And I think everybody in this room, as we look at this budget situation, I hope recognizes that there is a total 100% relationship between the health of our business community and the tax revenues for our state. So we need to take the handcuffs off. We need to quit having a one-size-fits-all policy dictated by the governor to this state. We need to stand up as a legislative body and come up with good, reasonable regulations and allow these local communities to have a lot more say in when and when they are not going to shut down specific businesses. And to go out and target bars, for example, just is beyond reason. Churches, bars, all forms of businesses should have some major say in how they determine the mask policies and so forth in their communities. I will say, too, I have a real advantage. My oldest son graduated from the Mayo Clinic. He is an anesthesiologist. He is one of three doctors from Nevada that was sent back east to deal with the COVID crisis in New Jersey and New York, for which Nevada got a lot of praise. He has been on a whole series of task force on these issues, and I communicate with him extensively on what our policies, in fact, should be. And let me tell you right now, he is very, very adamant that we need to start opening things up again, and we need to allow local people and local businesses a lot more opportunity to determine what those policies should be. And so it's not just Ira the plumber shooting from the hip. It's somebody who's been following this closely with some really highly trained people who will back us up. And I'll tell you another real serious concern I have. There is a growing effort in our state to darn near come up with a almost quasi-military response, because another thing that the governor did was he set up an OSHA hotline where you can spy on your neighbors and spy on businesses and turn them in. And that has created another huge backlash because that, again, is highly offensive to people to have their neighbors encouraged to spy on them and face possible foreclosure or huge fines from OSHA. So I just wanted to get that on the record. Madam President, thank you for indulging me in the order of business 16. Like I said, I have been a supporter of the governor. I've been quiet about this because it is a serious thing. It's not something we should take lightly. But I think we need to recognize that we're talking about grown-up people in the state, elected officials in other parts of the state, and we need to eliminate this one-size-fits-all dictatorial attitude that's going on in Nevada. Thank you, Madam President.
And thank you, Senator Hansen. It's about time that somebody spoke up and said that. It's time to stop being silent. We have a tyrannical governor in place right now. I'll tell you what people are trying to do to get rid of him. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Happy Thursday to you. Wow, just a day away from the weekend, and throw off the shackles and head out and do something fun. Outdoors. Go to the rivers, the lakes. Take a hike. I mean, that's all in how you say it. You know, take a hike. Go hiking, not take a hike. It's all an emphasis, I guess. All right. As I was mentioning, our governor, could you imagine, you probably don't remember the name, Stacey Abrams. She was running against Brian Kemp in Georgia for governor. And she's been nothing but a pain in the you-know-what since she lost. She went to the losing school of Hillary Clinton and, you know, just took off from there. Well, guess what Georgia's governor is doing? Kemp has just banned cities and counties from mandating masks. That's the way their governor is working in Georgia. Nice. Imagine that, actually banning cities and counties from mandating masks. Thank you, Governor Kemp. You know it wouldn't have been that way had Stacey Abrams got in there. So let's take a look then at an event that is quickly upon us. It is this weekend, Saturday, Sparks Marina. That'd be a nice place to go this weekend, don't you think? Just walk the marina a couple times. This is a call for people who want to volunteer in the fight for Nevada Recall 2.0. Please, if you are interested in volunteering, we have to get the volunteers in place before the process gets started. Because we've only got one more shot at this. Because three strikes, you're out. So if we don't get it on this second try, because of the lockdown and everything, there's still going to be ways to go out and get signatures, businesses to sit in front of, public entities to sit in front of. So please, log on to fightfornevada.com. You can go through their webpage or you can go to their Facebook page. But fightfornevada.com. This is just looking for people who are interested in volunteering and collecting signatures. Again, it's this Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m., Sparks Marina. It's going to be a beautiful night for it, 6 to 8 p.m. Got to, you know, do it a little bit later so it's nice and cool. And then think of the businesses you can support in the area and go have dinner. So I will put that up on my webpage for people to see and on my Facebook pages as well. And we'll talk to Linda Thompson tomorrow, who is the local lead, or pretty much the state lead, I think. We're going to have to get it straight from Linda. We'll talk to her tomorrow and get some more information on what's going on. I know it's going to take a while. It's a process. But we need to stand firmly and let not only the politicians know, but the entire country know that Nevada is not going to stand for this. And you know who's on board? A lot of just regular Democrats. Because Sisolak is not your average Democrat. He's the extreme left socialist Democrat who has his nose so far up Newsom's, yeah, that thing, that he can taste his lunch. Yeah, I know that's not something that you want to picture, but you should be concerned with that, especially since Gavin Newsom just took California back and locked it up. We cannot let that happen in Nevada. So, join the recall effort. Fightfornevada.com. We'll be back after this Fox News update, and a lot of things going on in the White House. Let's take a local perspective of it. Coming up here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM new News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
And good Thursday morning, Nevada. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today. Hey, head on over to 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. Should kids be allowed to go back to brick-and-mortar schools in the fall? Got a lot of pediatricians coming out and saying, yes, absolutely, going to send our own kids back to school. And there are countries around the world that have already reopened their schools, their education systems. Places like Sweden never even shut it down, all because of this plandemic. So yesterday's poll question, should Nevada be asking for more relief dollars from the federal government? 87% of those participating said no. Our governor got us into this, and he needs to fix it right now. Today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Thank you so much, Nissan of Carson City. Always great participating. So what's happening? What's happening in the federal government? You know, we keep hearing Trump saying that he's gonna step in with these tyrannical governments, these governors that keep everybody locked down and in fear. We want to see something happen. We need help. Great things going on in Washington, D.C., though. Did you see those MS-13 members that were rounded up? In 2017, Trump said, go after them. Get them. Bring them down. So, let's check in with a very special guest that we have today, and that is Aaron Perini, who is the Press Communications Director. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Aaron, there have been some things that, of course, you cannot escape from the news, and that is the fact that the man that the Democrats have chosen, personally, I just believe he's a placeholder, Joe Biden, to run for president against Donald Trump. I just don't see this realistically happening, especially after his speech a couple of days ago.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear that Joe Biden is a puppet to the extreme tyrannical left in this country. He doesn't have an original thought in him at this point. And so you see that reflected in the policy proposals he's putting out. Bernie Sanders was on MSNBC last night actively saying he is helping Joe Biden write policy for if they should win in November. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is that Joe Biden has been trying to run for president for 30 years. And now that he has become his party's presumptive nominee, the socialist left in this country is the one telling him how to think. It's unbelievable. And it should worry every person in this country about really what's at stake in November.
I'm confused. I don't see why they just didn't have Bernie Sanders run. You know, a lot of problems happening in this country because of the Bernie bros. They promised to burn Minneapolis down, and, well, look what happened. Minneapolis was torched. But Dr. Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, she's going to be putting on an event in Reno today, a virtual event.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, she's going to be trying to cover for her husband's poor performance as a candidate. You know, Joe Biden's handlers clearly like to keep him in the basement and away from real conversations with people because he strays in thought. He can't complete a sentence. And gosh forbid he actually got pushed on anything in this country by a reporter or anything. You know, they hang up the phone and they say the interview's over and he's out of time. You know, so they got to try and tout out other people who can try and represent the crazy ideas that Joe Biden is putting out. Joe Biden is the most radical candidate because he is a puppet and a Trojan horse for the socialist policies in America. I mean, it's unbelievable how extreme Joe Biden has become. You know, Hillary Clinton promised $2 trillion in tax hikes, and Joe Biden said, yeah, okay, hold my beer. I'm going to go for $4 trillion. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, just wipe out the student debts. And he's a blank slate. You just wipe him off every day and then write something new in there, and he'll follow along with it. Now, I knew something had to be good and going on when Jim Acosta said that just had a fit over the Rose Garden speech the other day that President Trump gave. So I had to go check that out, because when Jim Acosta is offended, it's got to be good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good. It was President Trump at his best. Here's the thing that the media hates, and they always have, is that he doesn't feel the need to be beholden to them to get the facts out there. If he stands there and he goes through the media without a filter, without the political bias in their quote unquote analysis over top of it, the American people respond well. And he stood there and he talked about the actual differences between him and Joe Biden. He talked about what was actually at stake in this country and how Joe Biden has been beholden not only to the left, but at this point, the extreme left. And he's got 40 years of bad policy. Not only is Joe Biden a bad candidate, but he's got bad policies and a bad record. We're talking about NAFTA, which killed jobs in the United States. We're talking about the fact that Joe Biden was a cheerleader for TPP, bad trade deals, job-killing trade deals in this country. And he was a huge supporter of bringing China into the World Trade Organization. He said a rising China is always good for the world. Are you kidding me? Yeah, the president's going to stand there and call Joe Biden out, and the liberal media just went nuts for it because they cannot understand how a president can stand there and be so honest.
You know, and I love the honesty, and I was so happy when he got us out of the Paris Accord. But the thing that confuses me is the Green New Deal is out there. People can read it for themselves, and yet they don't understand that this has a lot more in it than anything that has to do with the so-called environment.
That's exactly right. Because it's so AOC, who entered the squad, who are the architects of the Green New Deal, has said this isn't about green energy. It's not about green jobs. It's not about trying to address climate change in this country or in this world. No, no, no. It's about destroying America and rebuilding it as a more socialist nation. They have openly admitted that. And Joe Biden supports that. It would kill up to 10 million jobs that are supported both directly and indirectly by the energy industry in the United States. And how you heat your home, how you cool your home, how you drive your car, what building you stand in are all at stake when it comes to the Green New Deal. And they want to try and tout it as some energy program. It's not. It's about destroying America to make us a more socialist nation. And it is a tax hike. It will kill jobs and it'll shut down businesses across this country just because Joe Biden can't stand up to the radical left and actually try to put forward his own policies. He's just got to be writing down their stuff and handing it out. I mean, heck, he plagiarized in 1988, sure doing it again with all these policies he keeps putting up that are other people's.
Well, I thought de Blasio was joking when he said that we'd be tearing buildings down and rebuilding them. Mm-hmm. But I guess that really is part of the plan. So we're doing everything that we can. How does President Trump still feel about Nevada? Because we don't get to feel that energy. We don't get to see him here. How does he still feel about us?
Oh, my gosh. President Trump loves Nevada, and it is a state that he absolutely sees, you know, being part of the winning strategy in 2020. We were in Nevada, I believe, back in February for, you know, one of the rallies when we were still doing those big rallies in person, in the fashion that we were doing them. I mean, it's an important state, and our ground game has been incredibly aggressive out there to get the president's message out, to register new voters, to stay engaged across the state. So it's a state we are not taking lightly. It is one we will fight for every vote in, because we all know what's at stake in November, and it's bigger now than it's ever been before.
Well, and unfortunately with our governor, you know, he hasn't announced it yet with the Secretary of State, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be a mail-in election, and we just can't have that happen. But the important side is, if they get away with that, we've got to get those people registered and get them their mail-in ballots.
Well, absolutely. Here's the thing. We have been very firm and strong on this campaign in conjunction with the RNC to fight back against Democrats in 100% mail-in voting. In states that have 100% mail-in voting, it took them years to build a system that would work. To think that people can do it in 3.5 months is a pipe dream at best. It would never work. And it puts, not only does it put the vote at risk, but it puts the entire election process at risk. Yeah, I mean, think about it. How many times have you sent a Christmas card or a birthday card or just a letter in the mail and it never showed up? And you want to trust that same process, that same thing, to be able to deliver your vote. People know that they feel much more secure when they're in person. And it's almost the same argument as, you know, reopening schools. The work should be getting done now so that people can safely vote in person and that schools can safely reopen in September. The work needs to be done. Localities cannot just throw their hands up and say no. They need to get to work to make sure that not only are elections protected, but that kids can get back to school.
Exactly, because if we can go into the big corporations and still spend money at like Sam's Club and Home Depot, we should be able to go into a big location that doesn't even have all those people around and still vote. So
it's,
please pass on the message that, you know, we support him and we need help with these mass mandates. We've got a tyrannical governor that is just, he's just killing this state. And now he, like so many of the rioting states' governors, you know, asking for handouts, asking for more money. So it's just, it's killing Nevada, and we definitely need our president. So, Aaron Perini, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you give us frequent updates and what's going on. And let's get him back in Nevada so we can rally behind him.
Absolutely. You let me know when you want me to be on. I'm happy to come on and give you all an update whenever.
Thank you. Aaron Perini, the press communications director. This is what you have to do. It's called fighting back. It's called standing up for what you believe in. Somebody sent me an email yesterday, actually. No, sorry. It was a Facebook post that, they were disabled, and there wasn't much that they could do. But what could they do? It doesn't matter if you have a disability. Disabilities provide you with all kinds of opportunities. If you can't get out of the house, guess what? You got a phone. You got a computer. Keep sending those emails and making the calls. Do you work 24/7? Could you make a donation? Do you have the weekends off? Do you want to get out and meet your neighbors? There's always something you can do. Just contact the Trump headquarters over there off of Keystone. A lot of parties over there, too. So always bringing in good food. That's always appreciated. So you should check it out. This just came in. Monica, heard if Biden gets elected at some point, he would step down due to health issues and the VP would take over, becomes president. I don't even think that he's going to get to that point. We're going to see either Hillary Clinton step in or, yes, the running mate that he chooses, the vice presidential running mate he chooses, will be president. So that's really who you're voting for. We'll be back after this quick break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone, 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today and every day, whatever day you, whatever time you can give me, every weekday from 10 to noon. Also, if you log on to 991fmtalk.com, you can stream the show live or check out the podcasts. I am trying to get for a guest on Monday. Hopefully we work it out. Michael Snyder. Michael penned an article a couple of days ago on the 14th that came out as we were talking about a nationwide shortage of coins, which I don't really believe there is, but that's just my opinion. Oh, but Monica, I went to Walmart the other day and they, you know, said they were, and they were, you know, asking people to use their cards. And yeah, that's how corporations work. If the government asks you to do something, they normally follow along and, you know, go with it. But it seems now there's a nationwide shortage of aluminum cans. How do we get a nationwide shortage of aluminum cans? Well, that's pretty easy if you think about it. We're drinking soda from home. We're not getting our to-go cups. We're not getting our soda, you know, going out to lunch or dinner. So we're drinking more soda from cans at home. So much so that some of the popular brands out there, they've actually been forced to cut back and stop, you know, selling some of the less popular brands. You're not going to see them. They're adapting. You know, so if you like Coke Life, Mellow Yellow, Spirit Zero, Fresca, never got a taste for Fresca. Tab, you know, those, you're not going to see those products on the shelves. It's just going to be the classics. But I've been trying to stress to you, and this is why I want to have Michael on the air with us, is because I've already had a rancher on the air that was talking about how literally the USDA came to them and said, because the processing centers are shut down, we have no way to process the beef. You're going to just have to get rid of them. What does that mean? That means destroy them. Put them 6 feet under. Because the product can't get to the market. Well, you've seen, not only since January, but for almost a year now, beef prices have gone up. Actually, all meat prices have gone up. And they're going to go up further, and there is going to be a short supply of it. Chicken. Now we got another form of the bird flu coming back. We got another form of the swine flu coming back. Thousands of chickens, thousands of pigs, thousands of cows, all destroyed around the world. And actually, some officials are saying, or representatives of these different government entities are saying that they might even come for your chickens. The ones that you have in your backyard because of the fact that, well, backyard chicken coops have become so much more popular. Anna, I swear. Drink more beer. Well, only beer that comes in glass bottles. Remember, beer comes in cans too. So it's not just aluminum cans that we have a shortage of. It's also flour, canned soup, pasta, rice. You mean a worldwide food shortage? Is that what it could be? You betcha.